The word, are we ready, Chair? We're going to record it. Good. All right, then. I would like to read a passage out of Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13, and I would like to just read a part of it, and I'm going to read it for you, and it's a very familiar verse. In Philippians 3:13, in the middle of the verse, it would be considered Philippians 3b. There's an A, B, and C in Philippians 3:13. It says, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. You know, I do something every morning, and this morning when I was doing it, I thought about this, and after some soul searching and word searching, I came up with a word for tonight for us. Every morning, I do something the same every morning. I've got recorded Channel 40 News, the 4:30 a.m., the 5 a.m., the 6 a.m., the 10 p.m. at night, and every morning, so I don't end up with a bunch of clutter on my TV, I delete. I delete the ones from the day before. And I've thought, my thought tonight is deleting yesterday's news. And what I have seen in my life and other people's lives is that if we're not careful, we keep some of this stuff that we should turn loose of. Now, I'll tell you, there are some people here in this church that are very, very good house cleaners, and they keep a neat house. Now I'm not one of them. Me and Millie are not one of them. We've got stuff that should be thrown away. And you know, there's stuff that should be thrown away, I believe, that should be deleted out of our lives. Yesterday's old news. You know, yesterday's news really isn't worth anything today. It's clutter. And just like that TV, if we let too much of that clutter get into us, we've got a problem. We have to delete yesterday's news. Forgetting the past, it says. Forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. And therein is part of the answer to how to forget the past. You know, when you take something out of you, you've got to put something into you. Jesus said this, when an unclean spirit leaves a person, it passes over arid or dry places, looking for another host, another person to go to. And when it doesn't find one, it says, I'm going to go back to my old house where I was. And when he does that, he takes with him seven other spirits stronger than him, and he comes back, and the word says he sees the house clean and empty and decorated, garnished in the King James, empty. You've got to fill yesterday's news with something today, today's news, good things. You've got to replace some stuff. That is one thing that has to happen in order for you to go on so you don't keep reliving it. There are some things that are very terrible, and I fight with them, and I fight them and keep them under. The word says, tells us in Corinthians to take every thought captive. That means to make a prisoner of that thought and do with it what you should. And what we should do is not allow some of these stresses to rise up in us day after day after day. I had a terrible experience. I'm going to tell everybody. It just was awful. And do you ever, when you get under a lot of anxiety, do you ever make mistakes? Well, I pulled up to the gas station with my diesel pickup truck, and I put unleaded in it. And if you know anything, You got it, sister. So I just had to get it towed over to where they were going to fix it, and they fixed it, and so on and so forth. But, you know, we all get attacked. Spiritual warfare, you have to understand, part of what that means is you're attacked. You could be attacked physically, emotionally, financially. In so many ways, a person can be attacked, and we learn how to be more skilled warriors as we go along. But yesterday, I pulled the boo-boo, and I just thank God. The fella told me, well, it's going to be a day or two. And I just, you know, I'll just tell you, by that time of the day, I just had a peace about it. I just knew this here. He was either going to fix it, or I was going to have to take out a loan and get a new motor. Because if you know anything about putting regular fuel in a diesel pickup truck, that doesn't work good. Now, Mike told me it's not as bad as it used to be because of the way the engines are, but it's not good either, is it, Charlie? No. So I just had a piece about it, and before I knew it, I got a call, and he said it's fixed. And I don't know if he dropped the tank. He said he was going to have, but he found a way to drain it and do this and do that and clean the filter and all of this. And I was very grateful. But we're going to be attacked. We're going to have things happen that we're not going to like. And one of the acts of spiritual warfare, if you can, is to forget about it, to get it out, to put it out, to thrust it out, and try to get to a happy place of God's promises. I knew one thing: I could take out a loan if I had to, and get it. And I thought, whatever. And I told Millie, we'll get through this just like we're getting through everything else right now. You know, I'm going to read from Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 9. And we're on this subject, deleting yesterday's news. Does that make sense? Does anybody else record the news and delete it? Okay. All right. But in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, the word says this. Very famous passage. Don't worry about anything. You know, it's a maneuver to learn not to worry about things. And I wasn't worried about stuff before as much as I was being hit by this way and that way and this way. And I'm filling up Millie's car now, which takes on leaded, and doing this and doing that. And I ended up just made a terrible mistake. And God fixed it, and I'm so happy. But the word says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. You know, not just the spiritual things, but God, I need your help today. I don't even want to think about starting this day without you. I need you today. And it is not an act of weakness to confess that you need the Lord. It never is. David said, and I prayed many times, Lord, help me with my enemies, because there are those that are far more willing to hurt me than I am to hurt them. And you get to that point in your life, and it's not all about retribution and battling people. We battle spirits. We try not to battle people as best as we can. But don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Now, this is just another part. You're filling yourself with prayer, this kind of prayer. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he's done. Tell him what you need. Tell him how long should I tell him? Well, tell him till you feel like you've got through, like you've broken the barrier. Like he said, I'm going to take care of you. And thank him for all that he's done. There's nothing better than a thankful heart. Jesus healed 10 lepers one time. Healed 10 of them. And one of them came back and said, thank you. and the others did not, and he questioned that to make a point to us. Didn't I heal 10? Where's the other 9? Tell God what you need, thank him for all he's done, and then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything that we can understand. Don't fret or worry about anything. Fretting and worrying is the wrong thing to do. It's not a spiritual exercise that will help you. But casting your burden on the Lord, there's a difference in doing that. I'm not saying that you can't be passionate about casting your cares on the Lord, but to be just totally miserable and you can't, some people can't go out, they can't talk, they can't, that's, we want to move beyond that into where spiritual warfare. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything that we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. If you do this, and you do it effectively, if you begin to just thank him, and then just at the same time, ask him, tell him what you need, what will happen is you'll have a peace come over you. And I had that peace at the end of the day after I did that major boo-boo. You could have never made me believe I would do that. And now I'm hoping and praying that I never do it again. And verse 8 says, and now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true, what is honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. That's different than fretting. Fix your thoughts. That means to make an adjustment in your life. Fix your thoughts. Take a hold of your thought life. Take every thought captive. Well, I can't help what I think. Well, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that if you try and do the exercise, you can. Fix your thoughts on what is true. Now, you know what's true? God has not taken his hand off of anybody in here that loves him. That's the truth. And fix your thoughts on things that are honorable. And revenge is not honorable. I fight that. Don't think about getting your revenge. And think about what's right. Think about what's pure. Think about what's lovely. Think about what's admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me, everything you have heard from me and saw me doing, then the God of peace will be with you. There are some things that happen to us that are horrific, terrible, terrible things. And they happen to lost people. But I think the difference is, as a believer, how will we handle when the most terrible things happen to us? Amen. You know, I have one more place in the book of Romans, chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. In the King James language, the Word of God says this, I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Every morning I present my body, myself, to the Lord, and Millie too, now that she's home. I say, Father, I said it before we came to church. I said, Lord, into your hands we commit our spirit. And we just, and I told somebody the other day, you know what? If it's whenever my time has come, when your time has come to go, will your robe be white as snow? Are you walking and talking with the Lord? Will he take you by the hand and lead you to that promised land? Are you walking and talking with the Lord? And I'm preparing myself for my last day. How am I doing that? You know what? I've seen examples in the Bible of people that found out their time was up and they just took it very bad. They took it very hard. They cried about it and wept and blah, blah. But you know, I am not going to beg God. I am not going to be like that. When my time has come to go, listen, I was ready to go yesterday. How about you? Are you ready to meet God? Because the word says in the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 12 that when a person dies, their body goes back into the earth and their spirit goes to the one who gave it. Are you ready to meet him? I hope that you are. I feel like I am. Are all your ducks lined up in a row? No. Are you perfect? No. I'm just ready and willing to meet my Savior. And I hope that you are. Because sometime death comes at a wrong time. If I live to October the 24th, I'll be 70 years old. You know, that's what the word promises. 70 years and a strong man, 80. And people, there are people that are 105 years old. I know of a person that's 105 years old right now. Now listen to me. Here's how I feel about it. And here's how I want you to feel about it. More than that, here's how God wants you to feel about it. Man, just be ready to go. Whenever your day is, just be ready. Live every day. And the first thing I let God know, Father, just like Jesus said on the cross, his last words, into your hands I commit my spirit. That means I'm ready to go. I trust you enough, not myself. I trust you that you're as good as you say you are. I trust you that you're as kind as you say you are. I trust you that you're as forgiving as you say you are. I walk in the forgiveness of God. I certainly don't walk in the purity and holiness of God. And I got news for you. Neither do you. I said, neither do you. Amen. So what's the next best thing? Throw yourself on God. Throw yourself on his mercy. Trust him. I've served God since I was 19 years old. And I can tell you this. He's trustworthy. I can tell you that. He's trustworthy. He'll take care of you. Some might be sitting and saying, how do you get there? How do you even, I mean, what's this all about, really? Well, what this really all is about, any church service in all of denominations, and all of them are great. If you're a Catholic, that's great. If you're a Baptist, that's wonderful. So on and so forth. But do you know him? And that can begin tonight. In just a moment, we're going to examine our hearts. And while you are doing that, just tell God, I don't know much about this, but I feel like you're real, and will you help me? I started many years ago that way, and he helped me. So I beseech you, therefore, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy. Now, whose holiness are we talking about? Whose righteousness are we wrapped in? We are the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus. And you know what? No matter what you say, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. That means breakable. That means people still make mistakes. When he saves you, he doesn't take away the ability to sin and make mistakes. No, he puts the Holy Spirit in you, and he begins to coach you and teach you and free you from certain things and teach you how to love God. It's more important to know how to love God than it is to know how not to make mistakes. By the mercies of God, that you would present your bodies wholly acceptable unto God, which is normal Christianity. What we're about to do in the next moment is we're going to make an old-fashioned altar, either up here or where you are. And when we make that altar, the Bible says about communion, see, we didn't make this up. This isn't a church creed. This is pure Bible stuff. We're going to examine our hearts. It's a very private thing. Nobody's going to ask you to stand up and tell if you did a number 4 or a number 9 this week. You're just going to talk to God. We're going to throw him ourselves once again on his mercy, on the fact that we have this confidence that he's good. He's loving. He's not mad at anybody in this room. He loves everybody here. He wants to help everybody here, anybody that will call out to him. And be not conformed to this world. Here we are. When the world messes up their truck, they may still not be over it. In the world, if you don't have faith in God and a church home and your house burns, it's harder to get over than when you have the Lord God, your Savior, and when you have people that love you. We just love you. We just love you. When you have the Lord in your life, when on a Sunday, poor little old Millie hurts herself very badly, sitting here in pain right now. I think Mary might be a little bit too. Is that true? Are you hurting or anything? No. Just tired. Bless your heart. But this is the confidence that we have. God is with us. God loves you unconditionally. He would no more withhold something good from you than you would your children or grandchildren. So, here's the conclusion of the matter. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That means to transform right here means to take the old mind, the old thoughts out, and let the new thoughts come in. They come in as you learn and pray the promises and the Word of God. You learn them and you pray them because they're worth something to you. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove or discover what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I've heard that message, good, acceptable, and perfect will. I remember telling my pastor many years ago as a young man, I bought a 56 Volkswagen. It had the one with the little round hole in the back window. And I pulled up on the church parking lot, and he was somewhat of a car salesman and buyer and seller. And he said, Angelo, what in the world are you driving? I said, Pastor, I'm in the center of God's will for my transportation needs. And he laughed at that. He laughed me to shame. I thought, what kind of a pastor would do that? But it didn't hurt me because I enjoyed it. I wanted it. It's somewhat of a collector item, that particular one, and I enjoyed having it. And I beseech you, therefore, brethren, that you be transformed by the renewing of your mind. As you renew your mind, we know that there are thoughts of unhappiness, revenge, sin of all kinds. There are so many different kinds. But we know that every day God is in the business of helping us renew our minds and thinking better thoughts. Could I just take a poll here? How many of you would say this here? I've been serving the Lord for a while and I think better thoughts than I used to think. Amen. Amen. So we're going to change right now. We're coming to the point of this service. There's plenty of time for you. And I'm going to ask you to make an altar between you and God, a private altar between you and the Lord. I pray something was said here to help you, to give you direction. You're welcome to come to the front and examine your heart. If there